Hi there. Today I just want to talk about social language, interrelational language in our families, how we teach that and how we model that. And I also want to talk a little bit about your really smart kids and what that means.
Hi, welcome to the Parenting Bridge podcast. I'm Dr. Michelle Alden, a licensed professional counselor, parent coach, and family therapist, and I'm here to help you to build a bridge to your best family possible.
So, I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been wanting to do a video on this for quite a while, and so there's a couple different parts of it. One part of it is the social language piece of it. So I want you to consider your family culture and your family's social language, you know, how you relate to each other, how you interrelate. And in our Healthy Foundations family program, we kind of restructure that. We restructure how kids give responses. We're restructuring how parents are making requests or giving direction to their kids. But we also talk a lot about, you know, what do you want it to be? How do you want your children to talk to you? How do you want your children to talk to each other? And we just take away the way it's been done, and we talk about doing it in new ways. And so there's a piece of that, I think, that you have to consider as a family, how you want that. And I know that with difficult and challenging kids, this may have kind of evolved in ways that you didn't want it to, or maybe it actually didn't evolve. It deteriorated into things that you didn't want it to be. The way that you speak to each other, the things that you've had to say to your kids, the things that your kids say to each other, the names that they call you, all of that. So I want to come back around to that and to manners and stuff like that. The other piece of this is I work in a lot of families that have kids with autism. In the past, we would have said they're on the spectrum. Some of them are very high functioning, and kids with other behavior problems, sometimes, mostly, a lot of times related to adoption, attachment disorders. And what parents will tell me a lot of times, especially early on, is like, oh, they're so smart. Like they're so stinking smart. They're just so smart, right? And I feel like this being really smart is kind of like it's become like this, like get out of jail free card for kids and how they, other parts of their social skills and things like that. And so I'm going to push on some nerves maybe a little bit here, because I think that it doesn't really matter in some ways how smart your child is if they are not able to function, if they're not able to have even basic relationships or know how to basically kind of treat people in your home, how to treat you, how to even talk about themselves. And so I work with a lot of families where it's like the kids that are really smart, you know, they're high functioning, but they're off, right? Like they have these other disorders. Maybe they're defiant. Maybe they have ADHD. Maybe they have autism. Maybe it's related to trauma. And it's almost like, you know, at the school, at everything, it's like I don't think that other people are necessarily excusing these behaviors, but I think a lot of times as parents, it's like, but they're so smart, right? If they're so smart, it's like, okay, well, let's put that aside, because I feel like a lot of the kids have been told this, probably their whole lives, how smart they are, but there hasn't been any like requirements on it, right? Like they're smart, but then they have low self-esteem. And so we keep building them up about how smart they are. And I work in families where I think the kids think that they're smarter than any of the adults around them. And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't know. But life experience hasn't come into play. And so just because they're smart doesn't mean that they can't be polite. And just because they're smart doesn't mean that they get to tell their teachers off or choose not to do basic requirements because they're so smart. And so I think, you know, some of that, I just caution you as a parent, it's like, not that we're not trying to put kids down. We want to build our kids up, but we also want to build them up in ways that are really practical and that are important. So, well, maybe not that many years ago, it wasn't as important how smart you are if you weren't also polite or if you weren't also able to, you know, not only do well in school, but be able to do something with that. And I think that we're kind of losing that in our society a little bit about, okay, well, they're smart, but what are they going to be able to do? How are they going to contribute to this world? Where, what is their place in the world? Because people are not going to feel good about themselves if they don't have that piece. And so in your families, I want to go back to now in our families, how do we help our kids to feel good about themselves, even if they're doing the bare minimum, or even if they're, you were really concerned that they don't feel good about themselves. And part of that is having their place in the family. They can't just be the smart one that can't do anything. We have to teach all of these skills to our kids about social language and how to function in their family. So one thing that I'm going to talk about this TV show, Young Sheldon, because I watch a lot of the shorts of it. I don't actually watch the show, which is a shame really, because I love it. I think it's great. But I've been watching the shorts for a long time now of Young Sheldon. And I just, it really hit me when I was thinking about this concept of like being smart. And here's some things that I took from it. Is Sheldon is, I mean, he knows that he's super smart. Nobody's denying that. And in his family, he knows that he's the smartest one. He knows that he's smarter than, you know, his meemaw and his, you know, his mom, his dad, his twin sibling, all of these things, right? And at the same, and he has different things that he's doing other than what his brother and sister are doing because he's so smart. But what I love about it is, this is in the South, and he has manners. He is expected to give good responses. He is expected to be polite. And there's some times when his brilliance, right, gets in the way of what he thinks is right or not right. But basically, he was raised with a level of having to still have these relationships. There's a couple times in the show where he'll be rude to his meemaw or to his mom, and there's an immediate like correction from his father, from, you know, and or from that person. And there's a requirement. It doesn't matter, Sheldon, he's just smart, or he's autistic, and so he doesn't have to do this. It's like he still has to do that, and he still has to sit at the table and have dinner with the family. And he's required to learn all of the social norms for his culture, but also for his family culture. And I think it's just a huge example of what I'm seeing is missing in a lot of the families. It's like because things have been so hard most of the time, that people have just kind of let go of that. You know, it's like, well, I just want him to get up in the morning. I don't care if they're screaming and cussing at me or whatever, you know. And it probably is not right to say that they don't care. It's just the battle is so hard that sometimes we forget. But we have to take a step back, and we have to teach our kids, especially your kids that are differently wired, that have, you know, autism or ADHD or things going on in their executive functioning. It's going to take teaching those skills. So one example of how we do that in our Healthy Foundations family program, and we talk about this a lot in the playroom, which is our parent coaching that we do that actually supports this podcast, is, and you can, I'll just say this really quick, you can go to the playroom and be part of that coaching at a discounted rate your first month, and you can find us at parentingchallengingkids.com, and in there we talk about these kind of things too. But so an example of that would be, you know, a lot of families will say, I want my kids to be respectful. The schools use that word, respectful. So in our family program, we kind of break that down. What does respectful mean? What are we wanting? So a lot of times it comes down to using kind words. And so we'll actually write out the words that we want kids to use. We require that the kids start to say, yes, mom, yes, dad, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, because it actually helps their brain to go from that impulsive negativity to actually more positive. It rewires us, like where they would automatically go to the no and their actions would follow. They say yes, mom, yes, dad, and it it makes it increase to 80% or more that they're going to actually follow through and do that thing because it changes the brain. So our responses, the way that we interact, it changes our brain. So when you have kids with autism or that are differently wired and they don't have good social cues, they don't have good social understanding, they know when someone's disrespecting them. They feel that very keenly, even if they're not being disrespected, but they don't have a good sense of what that means, what they're putting out into the world. And we have to teach our kids that what they put out into the world does matter. It matters a lot. So you can be the most brilliant person ever, but if you have nothing to put out into the world and people can't stand to be around you and you're just mad at everybody all the time and you're breaking things and you end up spending, you know, some of your child either in residential or detention, or in the mental hospital, you haven't found your place in using that. So teaching your kids these skills, and I like to go back to the very basics. Yes, mom, yes, dad can be taught to kids that are 2 years old. And so we kind of go back and we teach that. It's like, this is the answer that I'm expecting. And sometimes you're going to have to wait for that answer and you're going to have to start expecting that. Because if you as the parent don't expect your kids to give good answers and good responses, then you're not going to get it. And you can say all you want that you want your kids to be respectful, but you have to break it down. What does that mean? What would be the respectful thing to say right here? Because these kids aren't processing it the same way. So we talk about using kind words. And I work with a lot of families too on manners, just some basic manners. When someone comes into the house, how do we do, what do we say, what do we do? When someone's leaving, what do we say, what do we do? And the exception is that when we're in the home working in the family and there's a lot of stuff happening and the kids are escalated, I'm less worried about what they're saying. And at that point, we're just trying to bring in that control and helping parents to help them to be safe, right? And so I'm not as worried about it then, but in our day-to-day. So I want you to spend some time as a parent as parents thinking about what you want that to look like in your family. What do you want the manners to be? What kind of things do you set up? I've seen all different ways that it can go. And even when parents say like, well, we don't sit at the table together, or when we do, it always ends up in this big thing. It's like, okay, what do we want it to look like? Because if we have a good idea of what we want it to look like, then we can set up the steps to what it's going, how to do that. And we can help you with that in the playground. And we can help you with that with the family program, how to get to where you want to kind of bridge from where you are now to where you are, where you want to be. But you've got to have an idea of what you want it to be like. I've had parents that they themselves are so frustrated with all of the behaviors and everything that they are yelling or they are swearing or they're saying things very unkindly. They're almost kind of picking those fights with kids. Like, why do you do that? And what were you thinking? And things like that. It's like, none of that language is going to help you get to where you want to be. So we want to be able to help you to process that. The other piece of it that I've been working with parents on too is if you can't be kind, because a lot of kids, our kids, they don't feel it, right? They're not feeling our love very well. They have a difficult time recognizing what we're doing for them. I mean, you are rocking it as parents, like all the things you're trying to do for your kids, and yet they can't see it. And you can make one mistake or you can say something the wrong way, and boy, they really hold your feet to the fire. I mean, I've had kids that, you know, are being really unsafe and doing things that are outrageous, breaking things, all of that. But if something of theirs gets broken, there, it's like the world is ending, right? If you have to reach out and grab your child to keep them from running into the road, and that hurts them in some way, like the world is ending. It doesn't matter that just 5 minutes ago they were throwing, you know, Tonka trucks at your head, you know. So their perception of how they're interacting with the world is really skewed. So yes, you're going to model it and but you're also going to have to teach it. So teach it in really practical ways. One thing we've been doing is saying, instead of just using kind words, which we, like I said, we list what those are. The other piece of that is to talk about, you know, if you can't be kind, you really don't like somebody, because sometimes our kids that are, you know, wired differently or just certain ages, it's like their likes and dislikes are very strong and they don't see any reason to be polite to somebody that they don't like. But we just talk about, like, no matter what, we have to be polite. So we should have a basic level of politeness that we're teaching our kids no matter what. If you don't like a boss, you don't like a teacher, you don't like another, you know, somebody else, it's like there's still a good response, which might be yes, ma'am, no, you know, and even in then a politeness, then that's your opportunity. Like if you want to say no, or, you know, I don't want this, we have to teach our kids to not just scream about it, but to be able to say no, thank you, and state what they want. And again, I think that this has been really amazing, like watching this show with young Sheldon, just in the ways that he learned that, you know, and was able to be polite. And that's one of the things I love about some of our neurodiverse kids. If we make these rules, they love following the rules. And so they start to learn, like, this is what is required. It doesn't matter how smart you are or how smart you are not. Everybody should have kind of these basic principles of what it is to be polite, what it is to give a good response. And it really does start at home, even though I'm not saying in any way that your child swearing or being impolite or, you know, all of those things is because they learned it from you. I think that there's been enough blame on that in other places. And that's not coming from me or from us at Healthy Foundations. We really just think that it's that the kids, there's something in their brain where they've missed that, and it's part of executive functioning to know how to give a good response and to know how to interact with people. And there's no, we want to do away with those excuses. It's just like with a nonverbal child. It doesn't mean that they have to just be grabbing things or taking things or, you know, demanding from us in that way. We have to teach them how they can ask for things, how they can get their needs met. And we have to do that with our kids at kind of all different levels, and especially if you have challenging kids. So go back and think about how you can restructure that in your family. And again, I just encourage you to join the playroom where you can talk with other families, other parents, and learn more ways how to do that.
Thanks for listening to The Parenting Bridge. Do you want to learn more about building a bridge to better behaviors? Pick up a copy of Dr. Michelle Alden's new book, Parenting Emotionally Distressed Kids. Or, for more resources, you can click on the link for Healthy Foundations. If you would like to leave a comment or a question for Dr. Alden, there's a link in the notes. We'll see you next time. And remember, things can always get better.